Welcome into the Ether, a podcast focusing on all things Ethereum, the leading blockchain for decentralized applications. I'm Eric Connor, your host and founder of ETHHub, a decentralized information hub for Ethereum. Into the Ether features deep dives on topics with prominent guests in the community, as well as ETHHub weekly recaps featuring Anthony Sassano.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Ether. Today, I have Salmay Jain, co-founder of InstaDApp, on the podcast. InstaDApp is an autonomous banking portal for DeFi applications, which offers a great user experience for things like Maker, Compound, and Uniswap. Thanks for joining me today, Salmay.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan of your product, so I'm excited for this conversation. Before we kind of dive into InstaDApp a bit, though, I always like to start with a little bit of background information. So can you let me know how you got involved with Ethereum initially?
So I used to write about Indian stock market previously. So I was already into financial industry, and I also have a very good fan following on my previous blog on stock market. So the thing that I like the most about Ethereum is we can build financial system without any permission from any financial entity or any centralized censorship. So that got me interested in Ethereum, and now we are full on going to build financial tools on Ethereum blockchain.
Nice. So how did the idea for InstaDApp come along? Is it something that you know, it sounds like maybe you've been thinking about this idea forever as far as like DeFi goes, but was it an idea that you had after you kind of joined the Ethereum ecosystem and community, or did the idea lead you to finding Ethereum?
Previously we built a decentralized exchange on Kyber. I mean, just a swapping tokens, swapping service. So when we participated in ETH India, we got interested in borrowing and lending. I mean, we already know that there was a complex protocol named MakerDAO, which is, and the dashboard really sucks. I mean, the previous DAI.MakerDAO.com was a little bit complex for new users to use. So that got us interested that we should build some good resolver or a mediator which will assist to combine all the transactions and under wrapper contract. So we talked to a MakerDAO guy from that event, and we built the first our first MVP, or we can say the idea, and implemented that in that hackathon, and it was one of the super hit project of that event. So that's how we got into really got into DeFi and got good exposure. I mean, good connections in the space, which motivated us to build more on it.
Nice. That's cool. That's really neat. It came out of a hackathon. I mean, I always kind of wonder, you know, I was at ETH New York and I saw you there, but I always wonder like how many of those projects are going to go on to become, you know, live working products. And I mean, InstaDApp has to be up there in the top three or five, right, that have come out of hackathons, because it's obviously a very widely used product now. So that's cool to hear. So I guess that's a good transition into the product itself. I guess for those that aren't aware or haven't used InstaDApp, can you just kind of explain it at its most basic level?
Yeah, so initially we started it with just an interface or a resolver contract on Maker. Now we are trying to build a aggregator for borrowing and lending. So as you can see, there are many inefficiency in the overall DeFi space. I mean, the rates are so much different, and you can borrow somewhere for cheap and you're borrowing somewhere for, I mean, expensive rates. So now we are trying to build a aggregator for borrowing and lending on Ethereum blockchain. So it includes all the protocols. So we started with Maker, then Compound. Now we have more protocols, Getneo, DYDX, and many are also popping up in future also. So we are going to aggregate them not only on interface level, but also on a contract level. So that's something different from InstaDApp. It may include the name DApp, but we are also aggregating all the contracts on a contract level. So that's something we want to create efficiency between all the borrowing and lending protocols on Ethereum blockchain by our product.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely think there's a need for that, and it's going to be a big space in the future. I guess, you know, how does this kind of work technically? You just mentioned, you know, InstaDApp in the name, but it more works on like the smart contract level and interacting with these. I know if you go to this dashboard and you want to, you know, link your account, like the first thing it says is it's going to create basically a smart contract wallet for you. So, you know, how does this work on a technical level? And I guess let's use the example of, say, Compound, because I know you recently announced integration with them.
Yeah, so traditionally, I mean, previously, users are interacting with protocols with their Ethereum wallet with private keys, right? Like you own CDAI on your, CDAI is the compound, I mean, DAI, which is logged in, which is lent on compound. So if you are locking DAI, you are getting CDAI on your Ethereum address. It may be MetaMask or any DApp browser. So instead of storing your wealth on individual addresses, we are storing them on contract wallets. So it gives us a lot of flexibility on providing specific services or features to the users. Like they can do multiple interactions in a single call. They can move their assets from Compound to Maker and back and through. If they found best rates on Compound, they can move their Compound assets, Maker assets to Compound or Compound assets to Maker. Or they can withdraw DAI and send them to their friends or someone, I mean, in a single transaction. So there are multiple transactions that happen. And by storing wealth on, I mean, your assets of Compound or any other protocols on contract, we have so many programmatic logics that we can implement on your wealth, and it will make your life real easy. And it will also help you to recover your wealth by some logics like guardians, or you can assign managers, or lot of potential are there in the market. We had laid down the groundwork, and we are working on launching everything sequentially.
Nice. Yeah. And I want to get into kind of your future plans in a little bit, but definitely a lot of power behind. I'm a big fan. It's very known, I guess. I tweet about it a lot, but of smart contract wallets. So I think that's the future. So it's cool to see that integrated into your platform. You know, I know you recently were working on integrating Compound V2. Is that right? And did you have Compound integration before that? Or is this the first time that you've had Compound on the site?
Yeah, this was the first time we integrated Compound. So after Maker, we got a lot of feature requests from our users that you should also include Compound. And Compound team was also in process to launch their version 2. So we just waited for the version 2. And once they are launched, we integrated them on InstaDApp as well.
Nice. So what are other, so you currently have Maker, so to manage CDPs, you have Compound, which you've been talking about, and then you have Uniswap for trades. What other kind of demands are you seeing for users or DeFi products do you think you're going to add in the near future?
Yeah, so right now it's more segregated into different protocols. So the users who are already in DeFi space, who already know about protocols like Maker, Compound, or Uniswap, they are able to use InstaDApp as a product. But when we move to a new user, they don't understand. I mean, they're doing pretty much the same thing on Compound and Maker. They're locking Ethereum and getting DAI back, right? So in near future, we want to make a very simplified product where user don't need to know about the under-the-hood integrations. All they know about to know is they are locking up Ethereum on InstaDApp, and they're getting their desired stable coins, USDC, DAI, or any other supported, any other coins which are supported on the protocols. They can borrow them, and under the hood, we will get them the best protocol rates and the best optimized way to get their loan on their account, and they can start moving their assets anywhere else. So this is our plan. And apart from this, we also want to build a wide range of services around borrow and lending. So it's like you are paying someone, you can pay from your CDPs or can pay fixed interest rates on the interest. I mean, you can play an interest rate swaps where you can pay fixed, someone is paying variable. So we will revolve around many customized features around lending.
Nice, that's cool. Yeah, I like the idea of, you know, hiding, like you said, the underlying protocols to users. There's really no reason. I mean, yeah, we're all like Ethereum geeks and we know what this stuff is, right? But most people don't really care, right? Like they just want to, you know, use it like a bank, essentially. So that's kind of, it sounds like what you guys are going for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our mobile app, I mean, we also started structuring our mobile app. It will be pretty simple. Initially, you can just lend your stable coins and nothing else. I mean, it will completely act like your saving account. So download that and send stable coins. Now you're earning interest on your dollars.
Nice, that's cool. So, I mean, I guess as far as the dashboard goes today, you've talked a little bit about how these smart contract wallets can enable unique features that you wouldn't be able to get, say, like on the Maker CDP portal or like the Compound website itself. What are some of these features today? Maybe someone listening that is now intrigued by this that that InstaDApp can offer, you know, especially around like CDPs and borrowing and lending.
Yeah. So, like for example. If you want to use your CDP as a DApp instrument or maybe credit card, like collateralized credit card, so you can draw DAI and instantly send it to anyone. So it will act like a CDP as a wallet. So you are not having a DAI balance, but you are instantly withdrawing DAI and sending 10 DAI to someone else. So this is something which is possible with contract wallets. And another, we also want to create a bridge between protocols. So if you have one Ethereum or 10 Ethereum on Maker with 500 DAI debt, you can easily move that debt to different protocols like Compound, TYDX, or any other protocols if you keep your wealth or assets on contract wallets. So it opens up a very wide range of feature requests, which is not possible if on a single step or in an easy way if you keep your assets on a private key enabled addresses. So, I mean, there are a lot of potential in contract wallets.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even things like, you know, I know there's been some popular features out there for CDPs, like if it's getting risky, it can instantly be topped off and saved and stuff like that. There's just a lot of cool things that can be done with this in the future. I guess what I really like about it is kind of like bringing synergies out in all of these DeFi apps. I mean, where do you see this space going? I mean, maybe this is an easy question for you considering you're building InstaDApp, which is a dashboard to do this, but do you see this as a future trend almost to the point where, you know, the teams building the smart contracts, so say like the Maker CDP contracts and the Compound contracts, do you think they'll eventually almost not even offer a UI and it'll more be these apps like InstaDApp or, you know, I've had Zarian on the podcast as well. Do you think these dashboards are going to kind of take over as the UX layers and you'll just get very basic features on the actual apps themselves?
Yes. I truly believe that protocol teams are more concentrated on their protocols and they will keep working on their protocols. They might not go multiple protocol interactions or integrating many different stuff on all together on a single dashboard. So if MakerDAO is building an interface, they will completely build it specific to MakerDAO, right? Their protocol. If Compound is building, they will completely build it specific to Compound because they are more concentrated on protocols. But the team which are working on top of these protocols will create a mashups by combining all these protocols in a single transaction and provide a specific service to the user. So just let me give you an example of while paying back. I mean, there is a feature on our InstaDApp dashboard where you can short your CDP value by interacting with three different protocols. So it under the hood interacts with Maker, it interacts with Kyber, it interacts with Uniswap for swapping MKR from DAI. I mean, so all these kind of interactions are only possible with the team which are available and are building on top of this protocol. So I think the protocol interfaces are used initially by the users, but over the time it will be the team which will build the product. And one more aspect here is as we grow, we will have more and more team which is building out of their own nations or own geography. So DeFi is an open finance space. Anyone can come on build on top of it, but the users are, the dApps and all the applications are the user-facing product. So the company which are building these dApps will have to anyhow make this localization, comply with the legal complications and all the nation-related or geography-related complexity, and they will fix it out. So that's how it will evolve over time is what we think.
Yeah, so while we're talking about users and kind of where these users are going to actually interact with the protocols, what are your volume numbers looking like or your user numbers? Of course, we're kind of coming out of a bear market. Did you see a dip there? Are you seeing a new uptrend or how's everything looking?
Yeah, so I think when we started, it was just 6 months back when we launched the product. After that, we have around more than 1,250 contract wallets deployed via our interface, and around a depth of a collateral value of 4.6 worth Ethereum is locked via our contracts. And we are having a depth of 1/3 of what is collateral, which is 1.5 million as a depth issued via our platforms. I mean, which is literally owned by our contract wallets in different protocols, which is MakerDAO, Compound, and Uniswap.
That's really cool. Yeah, you guys are doing well there for sure. I mean, obviously, we're still pretty early in all of this. There's always a battle for users. I think last I saw, I think InstaDApp cracked the top 10 on DeFi Pulse too, which is cool to see.
We are ranked 10th right now.
Yeah, nice. Trending up, that's good. Kind of, what are like the trends you're seeing in usage of the platform? I don't know what kind of metrics you guys study in your contracts, but kind of what are the most used like apps or transactions, or kind of what are people doing most in DeFi that you're noticing?
So normal interactions are just locking Ethereum and Dapp, but after we launched the leveraging and shorting, we see a very good amount of transactions going through our portal. So this is the number one use case of DeFi, of borrowing and lending on Ethereum right now. They draw stable coins and they have not, they cannot use that stable coins anywhere. They are not that much vendors it is not accepted at many different places. So the users are again investing those stable coins into the underlying assets, which is Ethereum, and leveraging the position. So we have a specific features and are also very easy to use portal and a step-by-step process to leverage your DApp position by interacting with, by making three calls in a single portal. So this feature got us a very good amount of users playing around leveraging and shorting their CDP. So if Ethereum price spikes, people start leveraging. When it reaches the peak, people start shorting it. When it's dropped down, again, people start leveraging it. So that is something which is bringing a lot of time. And I also think that derivatives is having a very big market in future. So right now it's a very hello world kind of leveraging and shorting. But over the time, we can see that user can make high level of 4x, 5x, 10x on even a decentralized platforms like all these dApps, which they can provide to the users.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, you know, we've talked a little bit, I guess, where this can go in the future, and I think you guys have some big plans. So, but what's kind of on, you know, I would say that the 6 to 12 month roadmap as far as future either integrations, or it sounds like you're kind of focusing more on the UX feature side and making, you know, certain transactions easier for users, and even on the smart contract wallet side. And I guess just for my own personal interests, have you considered kind of automatically chasing the best rates across, you know, all the different DeFi protocols for users instead of them having to manually do it?
We internally did discuss about automatically your assets will be deployed on the protocols which is providing the best rates. But given the current situation of the industry where protocols are upgrading time to time, MakerDAO is launching MCD, Compounded recently launched version 2. I think GetNeo team is also preparing for version 2. I mean, so it's kind of hard to build a decentralized service, peer-to-peer or non-custodial service in a market where protocols are changing every then and now. In a month, or in 6 months, or maybe a year or 2 years. So, and it's also a very initial stage. So it's kind of hard to build an automated service. So that's why we plan to build bridges between protocols. So if you are having your wealth on a single protocol, you can manually, with just a single transaction, move your assets from one protocol to another, which is even possible with writing logic. So without the custodian, right? There's no custodian in between, but you can use the bridge to move from one protocol to another. So that's why we came up with this solution instead of automatically diverging your assets into different protocols. And if you want to do it in a centralized manner, it's kind of easy to do it. We can anytime move assets between different protocols.
That's interesting. If a protocol changes and you guys gotta, you know, how do you handle that in a decentralized way? And that's a lot of overhead, I'm sure, for you guys too, to have to constantly be updating, you know, the logic and all that. So Yeah, I think the bridges make a lot of sense. I'm sure someone's going to try the automatic chasing of the best rate, but I also think over time, like as these protocols mature and more bots come online and stuff, it might be a fool's errand because the spreads are probably going to start to narrow. So, you know, what's kind of, I'm always interested in anybody building on Ethereum. It's always a hot topic around funding. So kind of what's your current funding plan? Does the protocol take any fees? Are you looking at raising funding? And how are you currently funded?
Yeah, so initially we started it as a hobby project and we didn't plan to build a really good product, which would turn out in a million or $1 billion company in the future. But as we go by, we see a lot of traction and all the stuff happening. Users are coming and people are liking it. So in order to sustain, till date, we are able to sustain with basic savings that we have previously. And I think we had a very good advantage of being in India. So we are able to hire a good amount of developers on a freelancing basis or a contractual basis. If you raise $500,000 in SF, it may last for 3 to 6 months. In Singapore, it may last for 9 months. But India, we can, with even a small budget of funds, we can last for over a year or two, right? So we do have a savings which we use to build the product. And now we are in the process of incorporating a US entity, which we will use as a vehicle to raise our further seed round. So maybe in a couple of months, we will have some good news. I will keep you posted.
Nice. That would be great. That would be great to see you raise funds. How about, you know, what are your future plans, I guess, then for monetization? So it's one thing to raise funds. Obviously, you know, whoever you're raising with, they're going to want to know about like plans to monetize the platform in the future. You know, where do you see that? This is a tough question, I feel like, for anybody building on Ethereum. I think there's kind of multiple ways to do it. I always think it's either you could charge a small fee, you could have like some pro features, you could offer services. Kind of where's your head at for that with InstaDApp?
Yeah, so this is also the question that we got asked again and again, how you are trying to monetize your product. I mean, the value proposition is going into protocols. You can directly invest in tokens, right? Like Maker MKR tokens, or you have lots of other ways to invest in the protocols. But dApps are eventually adding values to the protocol level, right? So this is there are some flaws. It's very hard to create a value proposition around dApp. I mean, any user can easily switch between different dApps by having their, by switching interfaces. I mean, they can interact with anywhere. I mean, everything is open finance, right? So in order to tackle that, we are trying to build our own contract layer. So we are like a semi-protocol way. We're working in a very semi-protocol way. So how we are creating a moat around InstaDApp is our contracts. Whenever a user interacts with InstaDApp, their history stays with InstaDApp, right? So in order to switch from InstaDApp to other service, they are losing all the service that they will get on InstaDApp. And by building our own smart contract layer, we are able to serve users in a very particular way, a very particular features, which I think is not possible for anyone who are just building dApps. So by building our own contract layers, we are able to provide a very good service to the users, which they can't get on any different platforms. And that also creating a very good moat around InstaDApp. I mean, we have the retention for the users and they are also getting a good service in return for that. That completely in a decentralized and a non-custodial way. So that's how we are retaining the users right now. And we are also experimenting out some monetization model on the specific features that they can only access on InstaDApp due to our contract layers. So we, in order to sustain, we will keep experimenting on that front. But right now, our more focus is to expand our user base or create a loyal user base who is using InstaDApp on a daily basis. So we are having a daily active users of around 300 to 400 DAO on daily basis who are using InstaDApp. And we are very happy that users are visiting. And this number of users on Ethereum blockchain are visiting InstaDApp on a daily basis.
No, that's good. Yeah, to me, InstaDApp's already like the pro features, quote unquote, on top of DApp. So I definitely think there's a future monetization play for you guys. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how you go about that. Yeah. So you talked a little bit about regulations already, and obviously this is a hot topic, especially in the DeFi space. And you were talking, you know, the applications that kind of present DeFi to the users, they're probably going to have to deal with the legal and regulatory issues that come up. And obviously this varies greatly by what country you're in and all of that. Are you worried at all about regulations? Have you had conversations with the regulators, or kind of what's your plan here?
Yeah, so right now, I think overall space is at a very early stage, and we are also keenly watching how other protocols, if the regulation come to us, it will come to overall industry. So we are keenly watching how it will work for other protocols or the market leaders like Makera or other platforms. Based on that, we will also start taking some initiative on this front. And in the short term, we are thinking to I think our targeted audience initially will be the people who are most interested in DeFi space, which is mostly based out of US. So we are going to apply for some basic licensing on borrow lending or all this stuff at initial stage. And once we have all the basic stuff run on, we will just keenly follow how the regulators come over this space, what kind of regulation they include. So we also got chance to talk to a few regulators, and right now we got the suggestion we got that if you are charging users, then you are applicable to the previous laws that are already implementing in the geography. And if you're not charging users, you are just providing a free software service, which will not attract any legal complications. So that's how we are going right now. Don't charge the users, increase the user base, and once we have a complete visibility on legal stuff and how regulators take this stuff, what kind of regulations they bring on the table, based on that we will mold the product, we will mold the targeted audience, we will have changes on the product and be it more legal compliant as well.
Nice. Yeah, I'm hoping to see some more clarity come about as we move on here. It seems like it's slowly coming out, but everyone's just kind of playing very defensively with not too much clarity around the regulations. I'm no law expert either, so I'm probably not the right person to comment on it. But hopefully we kind of see this shape up a little bit better in the near future. So I think that's on the InstaDApp side, I think that's a great kind of overview of the product and where you're at now and where you're heading. I wanted to talk just a little bit on more general, obviously you're heavily involved in the DeFi space. What do you think the next big step for DeFi is? Like, kind of what do we need to do? We've talked a lot about here borrowing and lending and, you know, leverage trading and whatnot, but how do we kind of get into the mainstream with DeFi and what needs to be built out to get us there?
Yeah, so we truly think that right now all of the users that are using DeFi products are the geeky people who are already in the ecosystem. So next step that will bring a good adoption will be the bridging between the centralized wallets or centralized exchange and the DeFi products. So right now, billions of dollars are being locked, being in the custody of all the great exchanges like Coinbase, Binance, and different wallets, centralized wallets. So those are the users who bought cryptos. Now the assets are sitting idle on their wallets, right? So that will be the next targeted audience who will procure in billions of dollars into borrowing and lending in order to earn funds on the idle assets they are having in their exchanges. So it can be they can borrow it, they can stake it, they can, do multiple stuff on this platform. So I think this bridging between centralized wallet and the decentralized protocol will be something which will bring the next revolution in the DeFi space. And we are also planning a lot of stuff around it so we can get those users on using this DeFi protocols altogether. So it will explode the market. So maybe from now, maybe a year or two, we will start seeing some inclination in this direction.
Yeah, and I agree. I still think we're, probably a few years away from more mainstream adoption. But yeah, getting those funds that are sitting on exchanges, there's billions of dollars worth, right, to interact with the DeFi space. And then you're adding liquidity places, and that would be a big step for sure. you know, are you or your team working on anything outside of InstadApp, or does it pretty much take up your time 24/7? Are there any kind of plans for you, you know, outside of DeFi or this product, or are you just kind of all in on it at this point?
Yeah, right now we are full on InstadApp, and we are testing out different stuff on InstadApp itself. So, I mean, we don't have that kind of resources to start something different from this right now, at least at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's countless features you could integrate on it, right? It can kind of be this overarching name that has lots of features underneath. You even mentioned staking. Have you thought, like, this could potentially be a place, I think, to me, that if you, I mean, you're writing interactions with smart contracts, right? This could be a place where people could stake. Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, we are surely going to have that service when Ethereum 2.0 being launched. So this is something, I mean, anything which where user can earn interest on their asset, they should be able to use InstadApp for that is what we are planning to do. So staking, borrowing, lending, and if they can stake, they can vote for the protocols. Like if they are staking MKR, I mean, on the contracts, they can vote for the protocol as well. They can, so there are pretty much a lot of stuff that can be introduced in the DeFi space, and we are already occupied with a lot of stuff right now.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be cool. I think, you know, helping people manage their staking, not everyone's going to want to run their own software and validators, but if you can do it in a non-custodial way via smart contracts, you know, we're going to see a lot of, I think, staking as services. But InstadApp dashboard makes a lot of sense for me there, because you can, it's basically, like you said, it's a product that can earn interest. You can see competition against Compound and stuff like that. Obviously, the ETH lending rates are really low right now, right? I think you can earn like 0.1% on Compound, and hopefully staking's up near 5 or something like that. It seems like a lot of the interest is on the DAI and USDC side, right?
Yeah, I mean, that will also over time reduce as we see more adoption. And I mean, initially it started with 0.5%, right? MakerDAO borrowing, DAI borrowing on MakerDAO. As we see low adoption and people are using more and more DAI to buy Ethereum, the interest rate swap. So over time, I think the market will get mature and everything will get efficient on their front.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Soumya, this has been a great conversation. I really enjoy your product, and I have high hopes for the future. And you guys sound like you got a lot of cool features coming. So I appreciate you joining the podcast, and thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Into the Ether podcast.